August 3rd, still 12 p.m. ish, just now leaving the laundromat. A little bit of a surprise while I was there. The attendant asked me almost as soon as I arrived, I was trying to get some change for a $20 bill that I had, which is basically the only thing I had, so that I could do my laundry without having to have like an excess of, like 15 quarters. No, that's not right. 15 times 15, $15 worth of quarters. So that's a lot of quarters. Definitely over 40, obviously. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She asked me if I was a college student. That was, I think, the first thing she said to me when I asked if she could make change. I told her yes, and she immediately handed me this paper that she was writing, or had written, I suppose, actually, and asked if I could revise it, and she told me that she was doing a course in sociology, and she had been making, I guess, good grades, but this report had dropped her average below failing. She was pretty distressed. I could tell that she wasn't very happy just by her presence when I first got there. And I don't know. I didn't mind helping, looking over it. I wanted to do some writing while I was there, and I guess I inadvertently ended up doing that, although it was a very focused writing. So I spent the entire time I was there, plus some time after all my laundry had actually finished, editing and correcting her paper, which, man, had some amazing mistakes. She's an older woman, and it was just the things that I would, that I take for granted in the English language, how it works and how it operates and what its rules are. It's amazing to have read a paper that was so seemingly ignorant of those basic assumptions and understandings that I feel like I have of the language. And so just reading it, you know, leaving out S's and using the incorrect form of verbs, past, present, so on. It's just amazing. It still is a higher caliber of English than, you know, the people that I teach in Clarkston, the Toe family. But this woman has lived in America conceivably for, you know, at least 20 years, and I'd say that she was probably in her 40s or 50s, and just still doesn't get the fundamental grasp of the language and how it's supposed to work and sound, and it was amazing. And so I did that work pro bono, for the good, and I enjoyed it, but it's still just sort of fascinating to see the mistakes that she was making. And I'm pretty confident that if she does all the corrections that I put into her paper, that she'll go from a failing grade to a passing grade, although it may not be by much, and it's definitely crucially dependent on whether or not she like fixes everything as I said that she needed to, at least, because there's just some elementary problems with the paper that go beyond the subject that she's actually taking. It wasn't so much the content of her paper that was incorrect. It was the structure of it. She didn't format it correctly, and again, her use of grammar was pretty poor. And so those types of things, you know, those are crucial in putting together any kind of paper, just to show that you're coherent and operational within the language that you're using, and that you can convey your ideas clearly and meaningfully. And so, you know, it's sort of a speechless experience to see an adult writing something like that. And I tried to explain it to her, what I was doing and what I felt the biggest problem with the paper was, in a way that was easy to understand and grasp. And I told her basically, you know, I wanted to be nice and I wanted to be supportive, and I didn't want her to feel like she was stupid or get down on herself for not being able to do this paper or this assignment. And so I was telling her that, you know, the content was good. She knew what she was talking about. It was obvious that it wasn't a matter of the material that she was writing about that was making her grade so low. It was just the way in which she was presenting it. And I told her that it was like, you know, having someone that you want to introduce, but having their clothes not be very nice, you know, maybe their hair is messy. And so in order to present them the best way you can, you have to make sure that they're wearing nice clothes. And so I told her that I was basically trying to make, I was trying to give her essay nicer clothes. And that that's kind of what I was hoping she would understand about it. Because it's interesting, I'm watching all these TED Talks and seeing, you know, the capacity of people to be just exceedingly intelligent, and that's sort of what I'm feeding my brain with, day in and day out, you know, voluntarily, if not preferentially, deciding not to go to concerts and hang out with friends and stuff like that, so that I can explicitly use that same time to fill my own mind with as much information and elevated information, you know, about the world in all its aspects that humans are able to explore. And from a position of such high academia as to be, I don't know, probably never discussed by the common people at any time, which is why I probably don't choose, probably why I choose not to hang out with people, for the most part, just their caliber and capacity to talk about what I find interesting is definitely lacking. Walking by a house, and I like the house, I like the yard, but a lot of the times, this specific house, people throw garbage shit everywhere, and I don't know, it's not treated as nice as it is. And so just walking by now, there's a dead limb. A limb that was just hanging off a tree, so I picked it up and broke it, and now I'm carrying it in three pieces. Not the slightest idea where I'll put it. But yeah, I just came up with an idea. So anyway, feeling like the human mind has an infinite potential to learn and grow and understand, you know, there's a willingness that's involved there and a motivation to seek out information and to want to become the best person you can within the context of, I guess, knowledge. So, oh, fuck. Stupid goddamn tree. It's difficult to carry this. Anyway, it's just a clash of the titans to read a paper like what she wrote and just realize that perhaps the infinite potential of the human mind is not as ubiquitous as I thought. Stupid waiting to cross this street. Such a bummer the transportation bill failed here. Although, looking at all the pathetic idiots who comprise this city, I'm not surprised. Anyway, I'm getting angry now. This tree, carrying this thing's difficult. I keep bumping it into stuff, hence my cussing. So I'm gonna leave it there for now. And I'll talk again later.
ったら忘れたの。
いやいや。ウペイ。いるかも、ウペイ。
いな。
うん。
ウベリア。
いて。
I still have the Karini dictionary here too, if we need that. Why?
Na mate. Mate na.
Mamete? Is that what? Mamete?
Mamate.
Mamate? Mamate. That's right.
That's what B-S-I-C.
Which? Yeah, let's see. Let me try to see. Which? Which?Tite.
How many?
How old are you? How are you?
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Which team is the best?
So, which team is the best? Or which has water? Which has water?
Best?
So, yeah, this one. This has water.
This.
Yes, yeah. And then, so. Today is August 8th. No, 7th. What time is it? Hold on. Today is August 7th. It's 8:20 p.m. Currently on the Beltline, walking back towards my apartment. Well, I had to work today. You know, we're 10:30 to 6:30. And I had gotten it in my head earlier in the day that it would be fun to walk to Octane after I got off and sit there and just relax for a minute. But about three-fourths of the way to Octane, kind of changed my mind. I'm kind of hungry, and my legs are pretty sore. I've done a lot more biking recently than I have done in the recent past, and so I'm feeling a little bit drained, mentally and physically. And so rather than go all the way to Octane, I kind of have readjusted my plans, and now I'm heading back home contemplating whether or not to get a detox drink from Whole Foods, but I probably won't end up doing that because it'd probably be a 10-minute or so affair. And I'd rather just get home, eat some food, check some mail, relax stateside, so to speak. And so that's where I'm heading. I didn't even really know if I had enough energy to do a clip, or at least the focus, really. I feel I got plenty of energy to keep going, but I'm at the point now where it's a combination of physical and mental exhaustion to where I'm just not very sharp at the moment. Each day I've noticed, and this is particularly pertaining to writing, I basically have one shot every day to really be creative, to really put my whole mind and thought into making something. And once that window of opportunity is passed, it's hard to kind of rehash it. And I've noticed, specifically with working, it's hard to, if I have a creative period in the beginning of the day, such as, you know, a really good idea for a writing or something like that, it's hard to really get back into that sometime later that same day, you know, 8 hours after standing and talking to people nonstop, just so, man. That work is draining in a way that I've never experienced. Where I mean, I did construction home renovation for, you know, 3 or 4 months, which was physical labor every single day. But I was never as tired from that as I am from Whole Foods. It's just a new caliber. It's just so mindless. You know, it's just so nothing. But yet it takes so much. Despite the fact. And so, tomorrow is my last day at Whole Foods. Hold your applause. Actually, no, applaud. I'm applauding. I'm ready for that. It'd be sad to say goodbye to all those people, and strange to think that the last, you know, 5 months of my life have been spent almost, you know, nearly every day there. It's weird. It's what I wanted to do, and I'm glad I did it. But doing it has led me to a new stage of life that I'm extremely anxious about pursuing, that of academia, finishing up my college, and trying to be really, you know, focused while I'm doing that and explore new avenues at the university that I never have and meet new people, connections, and then we have the Peace Corps. And I've got quite a few plans if the Peace Corps doesn't work out, which I think it will. But my plans definitely include graduate school, some sort of a media-centered graduate school, so I could go into working for NPR or straight into NPR through some sort of an internship. Although I think a master's in something would be more beneficial than spending my time as an unpaid intern and working my way up like that. You know, if I go to school for a concerted sort of curriculum, I can actually learn something there, and I can continue to grow in a way that an internship probably would not allow, an internship being extremely linear and focused on one specific task, whereas university and learning in general can be a little bit more diverse in its direction, a little bit more omnidirectional. Oh, And so that's sort of a fallback plan. How's it going? And that's what I'm looking forward to. My friend Lindsay, shout out Lindsay, she went to her orientation recently for a graduate school at UGA, and she's really, really excited about that. And just reading her texts, which usually text over a phone doesn't do much for me in terms of, you know, invigorating me, but her excitement was really intense, and she made me excited about the prospect of graduate school. So, sort of, how's it going? Sort of jealous in a way that she's already being, like, she's already there. She's ready for it. She's going the distance. And I think the thing that I'm most satisfied with during this time that I've been living in Atlanta since coming back from Japan, being single and being, I guess, on my own, so to speak, in a certain respect, the thing that I've definitely liked the most has been this, all the stuff that I've learned, and the capacity I have to learn and understand and the pursuit of that kind of a knowledge. How's it going? It's a busy night on the Beltline. I thought it was going to be a run-of-the-mill Tuesday, but it's busy. So, you know, I've learned a lot in these 5 months, and about so many different things. You know, right now I have a developing interest in technology, which I didn't have. That's the newest thing for me. I watched this very, very interesting documentary last night about human search for, or not search, but humans' continued progression towards artificial intelligence. And it was really, really interesting. It was, for some reason, technology has really captured me recently. And I think that technology is an underlying theme in most of my recent interests, because it's through technology that the future is really coming at us at warp speed. And so technology, to me, is sort of a mystery. You know, how a computer works, how a cell phone works, even something as simple as how electricity works, which really isn't a simple thing at all, but just something that we take completely for granted, just the fact that there is electricity. And, you know, not even 150 years ago, it wasn't as ubiquitous, if it was available at all. And so that's just a strange thing. It's like, it's this weird generational blind spot, it seems like, that which you grow up with, you just take for granted. And my parents, you know, they are exemplars of this same kind of thing. You know, there's no one in my immediate family who I'm surrounded by who can remember what it was like before electricity or before cars being the main mode of transportation, and so on and so forth. And so it seems as if there's like this continuum, and it's just like, oh, well, things have always been the way they are, but that's not true. And per Moore's law, you know, technology is doubling in its capacity to compute every 2 years. And that's happened since, you know, 70s. It really since, I guess, the 40s, I suppose. Computing has been around for maybe 80 years. One of the big topics of discussion last night in the documentary was Alan Turing, who was the person who was able to crack the German Enigma, which was a machine that the Germans used to scramble up messages of what they were doing with their troops and everything during World War II. And they had constructed this machine in such a way that there was like 150 million, million, million different combinations that any message could take the form of. And so, obviously, this posed an extremely large problem for the Allied forces, because you don't have enough hours in the day to, by hand, try to break the code of the German Enigma. But this man, Alan Turing, created a machine that could do it, you know, I think within, you know, a few hours, could physically go through every single combination until it produced something that made sense. And that's pretty amazing. And there have been a few TED Talks that you know, have shown that the age of computers could have even started before Turing, but really after Turing, I guess, things took off at such an exponential degree and such an exponential level that that truly was the birth of technology. But there's another man who invented a computer that could do simple mathematics in the 1800s, and this is a good TED talk about that. But it's just interesting because technology is definitely leading the way into the future. And the idea of robots, how's it going? Robots and artificial intelligence and computers, just all of these things becoming more and more integrated into our lives to the point where, you know, it's access to information or a easier way of performing a job is the new thing that's taken for granted. It's just, it's a paradigm shift right now. And it's a shift that may take another 100 years to be fully realized, or it may happen within my lifetime. And as I'm becoming more and more aware of the history of the world, everything that has come before this period, and the significance of the period that we now live in, as long as I can fully appreciate that, I can see that this paradigm shift is occurring, and at a rapid rate. And it's disconcerting, it's exciting, it's scary, it's captivating, and it's interesting. Ultimately, it's interesting to me. And now I'm walking on the Beltline, as I said before, and my sister and I, and Angel, and his friend Brad, we all walked on the Beltline together recently. And Lauren told me that it was pretty boring for her because, you know, Angel spoke the whole time about the Beltline and the history of the buildings that we were passing by and history of the railroad that was the foundation, is the foundation for the Beltline itself. And she said she was bored. And, you know, to me that was kind of amazing because I was just so enraptured. And one of my favorite parts about being with Angel is just that he knows so much and he's so willing to answer any question if he can. And he's interested in the questions himself. But Lauren saying she was bored made me realize Brittany never met Angel, but had she and had we done something similar, I think she probably would have been bored too. It's interesting that not everyone can be interested in everything, because oftentimes I find myself very much so interested in everything. People, things, history, future, everything. Just there's this connection to everything, with everything. And so for me, being aware of the fact that everything is distantly or closely connected, I can't help but be interested in the overall pattern that is formed when you view one thing separate from everything else and then put it back into the complete puzzle to see as a bigger picture. And so watching TED Talks, watching documentaries, gives me a slice, a thin sliver of information about something that I'm currently interested in, and goes that much further to enriching my brain and my knowledge. And it's interesting because I've watched so many TED Talks and so many documentaries, especially BBC documentaries, which tend to be a much, much higher caliber than American documentaries, which tend to be, the narrator of American documentaries tend to speak to the audience in a pandering kind of way, patronizing them. Instead of being an objective narrator, they tend to sort of talk down to the listener, the viewer, in a way that I really detest. It's disgusting. It's as if people aren't really capable of taking in the whole message, and so the narrator simplifies and dumbs everything down. Even Morgan Freegan's documentaries about the universe are somewhat disappointing for the same reason. Because, you know, he's got a great voice, there's no doubt about that. But I don't know if he knows enough about the subject that he's talking about himself to really be an informative narrator. He can read a script, no doubt, but there's a huge difference between someone who's an expert in the field being a narrator. How's it going? How's it going? huge difference between someone who's an expert in the field being a narrator of a documentary, which tends to be the case in BBC documentaries, or at least an investigative reporter. Someone who knows something, rather than just getting a famous actor a voice, you know, to basically act. It's too bad, and it's definitely symptomatic of a growing trend in America just to be unwilling to take in anything that doesn't fit your model of the universe or take in your model of what is entertainment, perhaps to put it more correctly. And people like Morgan Freeman, everyone has seen Shawshank Redemption, and they like the way he talked during that, so they'll learn about the universe a little bit through his narrations, but ultimately, there's just no comparing the two, American versus British documentaries, which is interesting because those are really the only two sources I have to pull from, not speaking any other language. Interesting. Whoa, weird smell. Bucolic. It smells like Indiana. I'm not really sure. It might be the smell of old wood. I'm walking by some torn up railroad tracks. Could be decomposing mulch. Who knows? So that's interesting. I'm really open to go into the Peace Corps because I feel like I am one of the last vestiges of what it truly means to be an American. I feel like I am an explorer of a type that has been somewhat lessened in his profundity due to, I guess, the modern conditions that he finds himself surrounded by. You know, I can't explore unknown frontiers because in this day and age, there's not really unknown frontiers. I can't, weird. I'll have to mention this in a moment. How's it going? Had a girl just run by me. Her name is Danya Muse, and I saw her today at Whole Foods as well. And talk about explorers. Interesting life she has led that I have been able to glimpse on Facebook. I know she went to, like, man, Alaska or something, working at some sort of an environmental, and I have no idea really what she did, but she posted some amazing pictures wherever she was, whatever she was doing. And now here she is running on the Beltline. It's a small world. I don't often see a stranger who I somewhat know, perhaps I should say an acquaintance, twice in a day. If I did see those types of people more often, the city might seem smaller. So it's interesting to see her twice in one day, because it gives me the feeling that the city's a little bit more intimate. So that's interesting. And right when I'm talking about being an explorer, a real one runs by. Interesting. I'm trying to experience a more difficult life, separate and apart from the commodities that are so ubiquitous today, the comforts and the pleasures and everything. You know, it's hard, it's interesting, it's difficult to live in a way that makes you struggle more as a white male in America 2012. And that's an interesting thing to find difficult because for so long, and again, this is talking about the knowledge of history and everything and dealing with that, for so long it's been the opposite case. People have struggled to enjoy comforts, and now I'm struggling to enjoy difficulties. Just an interesting change. My mental acuity is dropping with each step. I'm hungry and tired. I'm glad I didn't people riding through dirt, falling off their bikes. I'm glad I didn't go to Grant Park Octane. I don't know if I really want to be walking around at night here in Atlanta with my iPad. So obvious. I don't have a backpack, so I'm just carrying it in my hand. It's in my case, so to that degree it's shrouded and hidden, but still, it's pretty obvious that I have some things of worth. How's it going? Going over the Ponce Bridge now. How's it going? It smells like sushi. I haven't had sushi for so fucking long. I'd love to have some sushi. Man, it smells like good sushi. I don't even think there's a sushi restaurant around here. It's weird to think where it might be coming from, this smell. I'm gonna walk down to Trader Joe's, go through their parking lot, up 8th Street, and back home. I guess this will probably be end up, I left around 7:30, it's about 8:30 now, so it'll probably be an hour and a half walk or so. Weird stuff going on in front of me. Dogs running all over the place. Unleashed dogs. Leashed. Man, where did that sushi smell come from? Smells so good, like tempura. Man, that's one thing we should do. I'm going on vacation. That's another topic. Going on vacation this coming Thursday. Today's Tuesday. So I have to work tomorrow. It's my last day. And then I go on vacation the next. It's going to be fun. It's going to be with family. We're going to St. Simon's Island, which I don't know if I've ever been there before. I don't really remember. Sometimes I wonder if I have some weird modified version of amnesia. And that's going to be really cool. And then when I come back, I'm off. I'm on vacation again, a week off. And then I start school. It's going to be great. Police man being a mess. Well, maybe not. Maybe the sun was in trash. Anyway. Going to St. Simon's. I don't know what we're going to do there. But we definitely got to eat at a sushi restaurant. In fact, I'm going to call my sister and tell her that so she can remind me when we're there that we should. And I know she'll probably have a problem with that. But we'll figure that out later. In fact, I'm going to give her a call now. It's a 22-minute clip. Not bad. I'll call it quits. Talk to you later. Bye. Today is August 8th. It's about 11:45 in the morning. And it's really been a supercharged kind of morning. I feel as though big change is on the horizon. And already today, there's been a distinct feeling that I'm crossing over a threshold. And it's thus far undefinable. But still, I can feel that things are different. I woke up this morning after having gone to bed fairly late, trying to watch a TED Talk about the great sequoias out in the west coast of the United States, up and down California. But I proved to be too tired. And so I went to bed, woke up at about 9:20, and started doing push-ups and all. And I had made the decision that I would go to the post office today because I had gotten a slip not too long ago, about 7 days ago, saying that I had a book. Well, I knew it was a book, but it just said it had a package from Amazon. And so I went there, picked up the book, and it turned out to be a book from my Uncle Stephen about technology and why the future is optimistic, has an optimistic glint to it, rather than the pessimism that most people seem to feel these days, the malaise. Perhaps it's just a human reaction to the things, to the state of the world ramping up and gaining so much speed so quickly. Human understanding and conceptualization of something, perhaps we are untrustful, distrustful, and skeptical of the things that we don't understand. And since technology has changed our world so much, so quickly, maybe that's why this pessimism is existing the way it is now, and eventually will evolve to be able to handle and cogitate it correctly. And so I'm really excited about the book my uncle gave me. It's called Abundance. And it's written by a man who gave a TED Talk that I watched recently and then watched another one today while I made and ate my lunch. And I'm really excited. It's coming at perfect timing, right when I'm at the crest of being interested about technology and the future, really. That's what I've been searching for most when I look for TED Talks or documentaries, things that explain technology, its direction, and its past, and things that are sort of predictive of the future and where humanity is going and everything. And so currently I'm watching a really good question and answer series that I guess C-SPAN put on, which they tend to do from now, from time and... Well, they do it often, obviously, but the interesting authors that they have that I really like are few and far between. But this one's Malcolm Gladwell, and it's him talking about his previous successes with his books, like Tipping Point and Blink, Outliers, and his new book, What the Dog Saw. I'm really enjoying that. I wish I could stay home and watch the rest, but it'll be a little treat when I get home and off of work, which today is my last day. I'm walking there now. It's early. It's about 11:45. Like I said, it's probably closer to 11:50 now. And I won't be an employee anymore after today. And I realized today while I was making my lunch, one, I've never been late to work, never once, not even by a span of really 1 minute. I've clocked in after 1 minute of what I should have clocked in, but I've always been on the premises. So maybe I was, you know, cleaning my backpack or putting my lunch up or in the bathroom, but I have never actually been late, like forgotten I had to work, and I think that's significant. I'm happy about that, because that would be, I know the feeling of being late. I've had that before, and it's awful. And another small minor victory has been the fact that I have successfully, every single day I have worked there, taken my lunch. So 6 months, 5 months really, I suppose, and some change of taking my lunch to work, which makes me happy, because I have resisted the, to me, definitely a diminutive urge to buy the food that they sell there, which is just grossly expensive. Now, I am human, and so I treat myself fairly regularly, and probably will today as well, to a pack of dates when I eat my lunch. But still, I mean, that's a paltry $2 or so. And if I were to be buying food every day, I mean, that would be almost an hour to really become full with the amount of food that I bring for myself. It's probably around about an hour's worth of work that would go directly just to feeding myself that day, which is ridiculous and unnecessary. So that's another victory. I was talking to my friend Lindsay Glass last night, and she was telling me all about her being in graduate school now, and she's really, really excited, and her talking about being there was making me excited and definitely pointedly jealous. Thinking about how I've spent these 6 months was a very choice on my part. I didn't necessarily do anything that will further my academic or professional career in any specific direction. However, I still valued the time that I had, but, you know, listening to her and the imminent success that I feel for her and just the excitement and everything, it was really good. I'm really happy for her, but it definitely gave me pause and made me sort of reevaluate everything that I have been doing and everything that I'm wanting to do from a new perspective. And I got an interesting sense while listening to her tell me about everything that was going on. I just felt like this hollow vessel. And, you know, she was telling me all these things about herself, and the conversation was a good conversation, no doubt, but she wanted to also include how I was doing. And that's a part that I never really liked to do straightforwardly. I don't mind, you know. Maybe it was just, it was a little contrived, because she specifically asked me how I was doing, and I didn't have any specific news. I was doing the same yesterday that I was the day before, And so that, juxtaposed to what she was talking about, perhaps created that sense of, you know, self-diminishment or something within me. Who knows? It's all good. But it was still an undeniable feeling. And I realized that I really only felt good and comfortable in that part of the conversation when I was asking her questions about things that were going on for her. And I didn't feel like I had any comparable stories or tales or experiences recently that were on par with the things that she was talking about. And so that was that. And she's actually here in Atlanta right now, probably within a 5-mile radius of where I'm walking right now. Take a sip of coffee real quick. I know that she's going to be touring the Beltline at some point today. And I guess she was in the Glenwood, East Atlanta area earlier. So another big ups and shout outs to her. Miss me. Funny. Sips of coffee. Last night after we started, after we had talked about what was going on in our lives and she had kind of given me her update, we started talking about Angel, who I don't think I recorded any clips of the other day when we went on a walk, but I'm pretty sure I talked about it, so I'll skip the reintroduction of something that I probably already talked about. But he's in a bit of a situation right now, trying to buy a home over, I guess, in the southwest part of Atlanta near Adair Park. And it's a pretty frustrating and sad situation. He's gotten a lot of media attention recently, being on the cover of Creative Loafing and having his story told through that. It's really sad. Basically, he bought this house for $10,000, maybe less, maybe it was like six. And obviously to buy a home for that little in this day and age means a lot about, that tells you a lot about the shape that it was in. So obviously he had to gut it, did a lot of work on the exterior as well, removing overgrowth. And his house actually abuts the Beltline, which I think is one of the huge selling points for it, for him. For anyone, really. So anyway, he gutted everything, and then he tried to apply for a loan, and the bank would not give him a loan because of the area that he was in. I guess it's a Section 9 district or something like that, where there's been a lot of foreclosures, and they're worried that if they loan him the money, that he won't be good for it, and he'll end up defaulting. And obviously the collapse of the housing market is what has led the bank to be skeptical of this. And so for a while they had not approved the loan. And recently, I guess, they have approved, but I'll get to that in a moment. That's sort of an update, progress. Hey, how's it going?
All right, how are you?
Good. And so to add insult to injury, around the same time that he was being denied the loan, the city of Atlanta started to cite him for various violations, like, you know, his windows being broken, or I don't know, there not being secure structure, walls, something like that. And so he was being fined even more money on top of the lack of money that he had for the house to begin with, per the bank. And so, Lindsay and I were talking about this situation because it's pretty sad. It's too bad, because Angel's a great guy. And to me, he's sort of the poster boy of everything Atlanta. You know, he's involved in so many things, and he knows so much history about the city. He's a train conductor, or at least training to be, I guess, an engineer. And he just really loves the city. And right now the city is doing him a severe disservice, despite all the good work and effort and hours and everything he's put into it. They're definitely not responding in kind. And so, talking about that, Angel had told me that he was planning on making a video, sort of a call to arms, so to speak, to try to raise a lot of money so that he could put some more cash of his own down on the home that he bought. Because I think the bank approved $90,000. And that, I think, leaves him about $30,000 short. And she and I were, Lindsay and I were brainstorming ways that we could possibly, you know, help him get this money. And Lindsay came up with the most ideas. I don't think I had any, as a matter of fact. But her best idea, that I like the most anyway, was to kind of make the video that Angel's talking about making bigger, in a sense, having it focus on and feature more people than just Angel. So maybe have some politicians, if possible, you know, people who know Angel, people who know the city, people who can speak about why it's important to repopulate areas that are suffering from the aftermaths of the housing collapse, and then also just suffering as sort of impoverished areas in general, why it's important to get people like Angel into those areas, and, you know, just really, really blow it up. Actually, you know, interestingly, that reminds me of a talk, TED Talk, last night that it's the second time I've heard this Eisenhower quote referenced, and it's, if you have a problem, you have to, in order to solve it, make it bigger. And so, if we had the video and it focused purely on Angel, it might be a little hard to really, you know, grab people with a pathos, and logos kind of argument. Just because, you know, why should someone care about this one person? But if you can pull all these other elements and faces and voices and stories and experiences together and really, you know, connect Angel's situation and his story to a larger and greater picture, then I think there's sort of a sense of duty that it evokes in people. And it's not as if you're giving Angel money for himself. It's the cause that you're supporting. And it's the idea behind what Angel represents that you are supporting and giving money to. And so Lindsay said, as I was talking about the video, I said something felt like it was missing, telling her the elements I had heard about from Angel. And she said, well, to me, the most obvious thing that is missing is other people. And so we sent Angel a message last night about that, and he responded well. And then I also, after that, wrote a little note to Tyrone Stevens, who continues to be a figure in my life. I wonder in my future, if I ever do anything big, if some sort of a biography will account for the times in which I was sort of in the employment of a weird left-wing, like, black empowerment. I don't know. Man. That's about the most unelegant way I could think to say that. I have a vibrating phone. Why doth it vibrate? Lindsay said that she will be on the Beltline at 2 p.m. So an hour and a half after I start working. Damn. Well, damn. And so anyway, that was my night that gave birth to today, and it definitely feels like change is in the air. It's cool to be able to go on vacation immediately tomorrow and have even more change in my immediate future. I'm excited about that. It'll just more so solidify the changes that are to come. And today might even be somewhat of a different day. I have to go talk to the human resources worker Human Resources agent. His name's Kenny. He's a cool guy. I like him a lot. And in his office, he actually has posters of pretty profound, like, landscapes and images, and then pretty profound, equally profound, and appropriate quotations that go with the pictures, and the quotations are his own. So he's a funny guy. I like that he surrounds himself with his own words and ideas. It's funny. In such a tangible way, you know. Everyone does that anyway, building their own reality and whatnot. But to actually have a tangible representation of something that you said and that you liked enough to have printed and all, that's funny. Another sip of coffee. It's like a spider web in my coffee or something, tickling my nose. Oh. So today's been a good day so far. Definitely. And I'm walking, obviously. My walk yesterday didn't turn out so great, but I guess it gave birth to a nice evening. And I don't think I'll go for a walk tonight after I get off, other than the walk home, just because I have to, I don't really have to do anything, but at 8:30, that's not the most preferential time to go for a walk, especially around the city from this starting point. I have to go through a little bit of, you know, questionable landscape to get to areas that are more accommodating for a person like me carting around, you know, a couple $100 worth of technology just lazily grasped in my arms. So, tonight will probably be a pretty typical night. Perhaps I'll read a little bit since I have that book now. Definitely intend on reading it. I haven't read a book for a long time. Probably at least a year. Which isn't to say I haven't learned, obviously, but just the practice and the discipline of reading, it's been a while. And I plan to take a highlighter to it. And there is a spider web on my cup. That's weird. Alright, it's gone. Just the practice of reading, especially something I'm interested in, especially now that I actually have time to read. I'll have a week. Maybe I can finish the whole book. Who knows? That'd be great. I definitely have the time to. It's just a question now of whether or not I will. And so, that's great. And this next week, I have a lot of time off that I have every day off. There's no work. It's a vacation. And I've made several loose plans with people to meet, and sort of relegating the fact that I don't want to meet with anyone just by pushing it, the time that we will meet further and further into the future. And with the individuals whom I have talked with about that, I will leave it up to them to contact me about getting together, because I'm pretty stoked about the prospect of having time to define however I like. Time to define however it may line up with my desire. So, that's a positive note. And then 2 weeks, I start school. Less than 2 weeks now. I already have a bunch of desires. What I want to do. I think I want to join a writing club or something. Something to practice that. Figure out as much about Georgia State academically. Things that interest me. You know, use those resources. I feel like I really stumbled onto some gold when I found out they had a TEFL program at State. It would have been a shame if I had learned about that even one semester later. Time to cross the street. A 21-minute clip. Erica and Julie went on a bike ride this morning. Julie had said that she was going to wake up Erica at 10 o'clock so that they could go. And I felt really bad for Erica, because she doesn't, she may get up at 10 o'clock some days, but I know she definitely doesn't want to leave the house at 10 o'clock, because that means she has to probably get up at like 9:45. And so, as I was doing my push-ups from 9:30 to 10:30, I was listening out for Julie's characteristic stomps that would let me know she was awake and getting ready to go and violate Erica's sleepiness. But those stomps never came. That made me happy. Erica was able to keep sleeping, and I guess Julie was too last night. Julie stayed up much, much later than she usually does. She usually retreats back into her room sometime late in the hour of 10, the 10th hour. And last night she was up till about 12, which was strange and unexplainable. I don't know why she was up so late, but thanks to that, Erica got to sleep. And so, something about this morning, there's just an energy in the air. Going to get that book, it was like going to a secret sort of, you know, mission deployment office and receiving instructions right on the eve of the night or the day that you were planning on making a big change anyway. I'm just really excited about that. It's gonna be fun. And everything right now is just coming at such perfect timing. Sips of coffee. Ugh. 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 That tastes disgusting. Wow. Cold coffee. I've been drinking instant coffee for almost a year now. One thing I'm really excited about when my sister and I move into the house, assuming everything goes well, is definitely returning to drinking real coffee. Because while instant coffee is good and I appreciate its convenience, there's a markedly different experience of the caffeine. And it varies from brand to brand, for sure. But that sort of pulsating, I don't know, clear-headed sort of mental acuity that I associate with drinking real, good, well-made coffee, I don't really get that experience when I drink instant. Sometimes I feel like drinking instant just creates a placebo effect, because there have been some mornings when I've woken up and I haven't drank coffee immediately. What the fuck is in my pockets? What the hell? Oh, it's a coffee mug. Anyway, I haven't drank coffee immediately, but I've gradually felt as awake as I do when I drink coffee immediately. Which, you know, pretty uninteresting observation. However, nevertheless true. And so, I'm excited to be able to drink real coffee again in a manner that I'm most familiar with and pleased by. I'll be able to drink coffee, we'll have our own entertainment center with movies, I'll have my musical instruments there. That's what I'm really excited about. At no point in my life, and my mom qualified this statement, that it is true other than the fact other than the time period at which I lived at home, like every year. Well, basically, okay, so for the last 5 years, I have lived a consolidated form of my previous life. I have always, when I've lived in the different areas that I have, taken a small version of my total life, but never it in its totality. And so, I'm really excited once again, once more, to have all my things. Every book, you know, not having to go through my bookshelf and be like, oh, well, you know, I can't really, space-wise, I don't really want to bring the Harry Potter series because, you know, it's 8 books long or whatever, and that's going to take up a lot of room. But now I'll be able to do that because the whole house is ours, which is just sort of a stultifying
reality
to be coming into. Just, we can decorate it however we want. We can, I'm just excited. I just picture having all my things, my books, and a coffee machine, just a drip coffee maker. It's going to be a fun coming time soon. And it's amazing. If I think back to all of the different seasons of my life I've had in the past 4 or 5 years, there's a lot of variety, a lot of different living experiences. It's 12:15 now. It's my 15-minute warning that I need to be going to work, which means I can officially delete that notification from my phone, which concludes the work notifications that I've had to make since starting this job of my schedule, which is great. It was a good feeling going into work last Thursday when the schedule was put up and seeing that after today I was scheduled only to be off. Repetition of a beautiful word that has brand new meaning. And so I'm rounding a corner now, about to go into the plaza at Ponce, and I'm gonna look really weird and be more self-conscious now walking around with the recorder, so I'm gonna turn it off here. But best believe I'll get back to you soon, and I'll definitely be making a few clips of this coming vacation. Talk to you later. Bye.
Grow.